Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's Friday night. It's 11 o'clock. It's time for Anything Goes. My name is Bennett Pomerantz. If you haven't looked at the promo, then you don't know. I'm Bennett Pomerantz. It's a lovely show. And my guest, I'm going to go back to, I did a print interview about a month ago. And they said, well, how long have I known some of these authors? And I said, some a year, some two, some five. And they said, who's your longest? I said, 26 years. And they're like, and she hasn't killed you yet? No, she hasn't. So, Elizabeth Black, I want to you tell them, have you killed me yet?
Not yet, but I know where all the bodies are buried.
Yes, I've known her, and I can say this in my heart, true. I know her husband, I know her son, I know where she lives.
Mm-hmm.
We talk at least twice a month, whether we need to or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She is my friend, and I do care about this lady. And I will say this, somebody brought this to my attention. Is that your quote on the back of Don't Call Me Baby? I said, yes, it is. You're that Bennett Pomerantz? I said, yes.
Yes, you
I didn't
are.
Think... But no,
I don't
if,
think there's
and
another
by
Bennett
the way,
Pomerantz
I,
that I know of.
Somebody says, is that your real name? It's my real name. Elizabeth, you know me well enough. Also, is that my real name?
Yes, it is. Yes,
I
it
don't
is.
Use the middle none, but yeah, it's my real name. You go to DMV, yeah, look me up on there. But that's beside the point. I will say this, though. This person read Don't Call Me Baby and says, wow, this is a good book. I'm so thrilled, you know?
I'm glad. I'm always glad to hear, you know, nice comments about
they
especially
found,
that
they
book.
They found it. Now, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not saying where books go after they spend a couple of years out, but she found it in a Goodwill.
Oh, well, that's fine. Yeah, it gets around.
I buy
books at consignment shops. Yeah, I do too. I'm just glad you read it. That's all that matters to me.
Hey, I found one of my old books in a Goodwill, too, and I'm like, I don't want to touch it either. I wrote this 20 years ago, and I don't want to see it. Oh, yeah. Okay. But
I found one of my books on sale on Amazon for like $150. And I'm like, what? You can buy it new for $15. So I've heard of people doing that, really upping the price of a book, thinking that, you know, if somebody that wants the book badly enough will pay that kind of money for it, even though it's just something that the booksellers do, that it gets really, really out of hand. And when I saw that, the book is actually out now on sale for $2.99. It's a special promotion from the publisher, but it's called An Unexpected Guest. And I saw somebody trying to sell the paperback for over $100. And I just went, whoa.
Well, wait a second. I didn't get my Christmas gift this year. Is that my Christmas gift that somebody's trying to sell?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it ever sold. I would hope not. Not at that price.
All kidding aside, I know that you have a lovely radio show because I've been a guest on it. I love it. And I wanted to find out, how's your radio show doing? Because I'm very, I love the network you're
well.
On. The World of Ink Network, which is a lovely, Marcia Kasper Cook, I love her. I mean, don't tell her, it'll go right to her head. No, okay. Marcia is a lovely lady, she is.
Yes, she is.
And I respect her immensely. Even though I have my network, she has hers. I will I'll pop on hers, she'll pop on mine. It's her turn, but that's beside the point. And I remembered, and I will say this because people have even mentioned it to me, didn't she do the women's show for you? Yes, she did. And
yep, I did.
And it's not, there's no hate or animosity. She, had a bigger venture, and I'm proud of her. I'm talking to you, not, but I'm proud of you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You've grown into a hostess that I listen to. You know, I don't have to do your show all the time, but listening to you, I'm like, yeah, I'm amazed.
Oh, well, that's cool. Well, my show is called Into the Abyss. You know, for anybody that is,
yeah, I was
going
to get there, but I'm slow
there.
Today.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I'm slow too. Let's all be slow.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't know about how guests approach you for doing a show. I just got a guest, an author that approached me last Thursday. Okay, on Facebook. We're Facebook friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they write, "Hi, Bennett," 2 T's. Wrong answer to start with. I see Liz is going to be a guest on your show. Now, it's not that I don't love Elizabeth Black. I have 3 guests in the next 2 months that are named Liz. Didn't, you know? I would love to be put my hat in the ring as a guest for your fall. Now, people, I love you all, but I'm booking for June, July, and August now. I'm not going September or October yet, okay? Now,
yeah,
I said, well, what have you done lately, ma'am? Well, I'm a short story writer. Oh, have you read anything I might have seen published? Well, I'm going to be in a collection in October. Okay. But do you have room on your radio schedule for me? I mean, it's like October is not even nearby.
Looks like it's a whole century away.
It's almost, sometimes, yes. I mean, it is almost a century away.
It's not even summer yet, and they, you know, they want to get in, so, like, when can I be on your show? I'm like, you know, let me get a chance to get everybody else booked first. I'm still setting things up. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But have you ever got some of that lately or not? Or am I the only one that's lucky these days?
I generally go after the guests myself. And, I mean, they're people that I already know. And, you know, it turns out that they'll want to be on the show anyway because they know about it. It's also a newer show. So a lot of people don't know about it yet. It's only been on for a few months. And I mean,
in archives is I'm on your show and I love doing your show.
Yes.
I'll do it any time of the week,
like
month,
it.
Or year.
Mm-hmm.
And you
well,
know
I was
that.
Supposed to have the show, well, I was supposed to have an episode last night, and my guest had to cancel at the last minute. His name is Walt Bost, and he's going to be my guest next month on the second Thursday, on the 15th. I think that's the Thursday. And we're still negotiating the time, but I haven't settled it yet. But he's the supervising sound editor for the TV show iZombie, and he worked on Veronica Mars, and he has a new show coming out called The New 30. And then the reason that he had to cancel was that he got pulled into another television show, and he had to meet with the producers yesterday, and it happened to be at the time that my show would have been going on because, you know, for me it's 4 p.m. in the afternoon, but he's in California, so it was lunchtime. So it was like, okay, we can just reschedule. So I've got them settled down for next month, and we're still picking out a time. But and I worked on an indie movie with him about 20 years ago, so that's how I know him. And I was just running around thinking about, oh, who else do I want on my show? And I thought, oh, Walt, he'd be perfect. And then I saw that, you know, what he'd already done. I'm like, wow, he'd be a great guest. I mean, he's working. I watch iZombie. I love that show. It's really adorable. So I thought, yeah, this would be really good.
Yeah,
like,
but
yeah,
we hope it'll still be
him.
On next season. They haven't made the decision yet if it'll be on next season.
Yeah, not yet.
I'm hoping it will.
Well, even if it's not, he has some other stuff coming up that sounds really good.
Well, and the Blacklist, they haven't made a decision yet either.
No, not yet. Yeah, and I had Daniel Knopf. He's one of the writers for the Blacklist.
I wanted
and
to mention that.
I had him on my show. What did you say?
I wanted to mention that because I was very impressed with that. I really am.
He was,
you know,
a fantastic guest.
The caliber guests you get, not that I don't get good caliber guests, but the caliber guests you get are damn good. And and I'm not saying not the usual players, but it amazes me at the caliber guests you're getting, and you handle it very well. When are you getting Joe Lansdale back? No.
I have to finish watching the latest episodes of Hap and Leonard, and I don't want to have him on until I've seen those. And I think that one is based on Mucho. I know. Is it Mucho Mojo? I think so.
Yeah,
that's
Mucho Mojo.
And the next one is Bad Chili. So that should be the next series coming out. You know, assuming that the show is continuing.
They've renewed for season 3 already, so we're good.
Good. So that would be Bad Chili. I think that's the third book in the series. And so I want to finish. I think they're like 6 episodes. I want to finish watching that after I finish watching more of iZombie. I'm watching TV for part of my job. It's pretty interesting. But
I've done that too.
Then I'll have him on again.
Well,
I
buy old Disney movies
too,
because I like being.
Mm-hmm.
I have a job as a media critic. That's one of my lovely hats, and I buy old Disney. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Because new Disney, and not that I don't like Tim Allen or other things, but, you know, it used to, when Walt was involved, even in the early 70s after Walt passed, Disney kept the quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays it's Pirates of the Caribbean 5, Cars 3, Toy Story 4. Disney used to be, okay. How can I express it? Even some of their, I can't say childlike, but the Shaggy Dog, the original, not the Tim Allen version.
The Fred McMurray version.
Yeah, but Herbie the Love Bug, great, you know, it was.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I know, Punch Buggy, no, okay. But
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed those shows. And you can still watch them. And you don't have to worry about you have to turn it off because they said the F word or the S word or whatever. Nowadays,
they've been remaking some of them. I mean, they did Herbie Fully Loaded, which I saw a little of.
Please,
that.
Please, let's not talk disasters. Let's not talk disasters, please.
Yeah, I know.
Michael Keaton in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It did have Michael Keaton playing the father. But
when my son was younger, I got him watching all the cat movies, like Thomasina and That Darn Cat, and they remade That Darn Cat, and I wanted to see it just because, hey, this is a remake of, you know, one of the movies that we loved when my son was little. And I watched it, and I'm like, what? It just fell flat. It didn't. The charm just isn't there anymore. You know, especially
Disney used to have charm. I mean, I watched, and I'm going to date myself now. Sal Mineo, and of course Sal Mineo has been dead for 30 years, but Sal Mineo did and plays an Indian who raised a horse called Tonka. Now, as dumb as it sounds, it was a very well done movie. It was a studio movie, but it was well done. You had the Ten Who Dared. You had Johnny Shiloh. You had a lot of these films that are those I just mentioned are not in the vault, but there are a lot that are still in the vault that I wish they would release because they are that good. And they don't release those kind of things anymore.
I'm trying to remember. There were some that they'll have a certain period of time when they will release something from the vault, and then it goes right back into the vault again. So I remember when I don't remember which movie anymore, but there were a few of them that I managed to at the time it was VHS.
Well, they re-release all the animations. They re-release all the animations like Pinocchio and things like that.
Uh-huh,
but I'm talking the live-action stuff. The last one they the last one they had was Mr. Boogity and Bride of Boogity. it wasn't the best Disney offering. I mean, I wish they would go back and get really Swamp Fox, Dr. Sin, some of the wonderful things, some of the great films that are in the vault again. And, you know, they're not touching them.
Well, I think that, I don't think Disney's lost all of its charm. I mean, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie was wonderful. And, I mean, Moana is fantastic. And what's the Irish one or the Celtic one?
Brave.
The redhead, Brave.
Brave.
Yeah, that one was really good. It just seems that there's more of a chance. There's too much pressure to push out a lot of sequels and stuff in order to bring in money, which Disney really doesn't need to do. But it's sort of like it's the thing to do. So you make all these. You know, we have Pirates of the Caribbean 54, and it just doesn't work.
Well, okay.
You know,
if you noticed, Moana has The Rock doing the voice.
Yes.
And the character looks just like The Rock. So you have a live action Moana doll. I mean, everything nowadays in Hollywood is either a sequel, a prequel, or an equal. I mean, if you watched Guardians of the Galaxy, there are 5 trailers or little hints or whatever of upcoming movies like The Avengers, Infinity War, the first Guardians of the Galaxy was great. Doctor Strange, of course, will be in Thor. I was talking about your brother Loki, you know, Thor talking to Doctor Strange.
I just saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and we liked that one. I thought it was.
Did you notice all the trailers for all the future shows? But did
I don't
you
watch
like
the trailers
all the
because I feel like if I watch the trailers, I feel like I'm going to end up watching the whole movie. Because too many trailers show. I think they show too much.
These trailers are the
like
ones at the end of the movie.
Feel like you've just seen the whole movie.
These trailers are
at
the end of the movie. Yeah, where they have 5 of them.
Yeah, I did see them. I did see them. Because we always say all the way through all the credits.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have 5 trailers, you know. Even though I am Groot.
Yes, I have a little dancing baby Groot that's sun solar powered and is sitting in my car right now, just rocking back and forth and back and forth. And I'm keeping it there as long as the movie is playing. And then once things die down, I'm going to take it down and put up my Buddy Christ from which movie? The Buddy Christ. You know which one?
Dogma.
Dogma.
He was in Dogma.
I have a Buddy Christ from Dogma. Yes.
So do I. I love Buddy Christ. Yes. And when we're not talking blasphemous, I want to make sure you understand that is from the Kevin Smith movie Dogma. Okay.
Yes.
She and I. This woman and I have known each other so long we can almost talk in symbols. It's like Dogma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Of course, my favorite is Cardinal Glick, who blesses clubs. but what bothers me a lot of things. Kevin Smith doesn't do it as much anymore, even though he will be doing another Jay and Silent Bob movie. Thank God.
Yeah. I like Jay and Silent Bob. Those two are really, really cool.
Well, it's what, the 4th or 5th Jay and Silent Bob movie?
I don't know how far along they've been. It's funny because we were just talking about how bad sequels are. This is only its 4th or 5th one.
But what annoys me is once they do a TV show, like let's say The Blacklist, suddenly in a year there's a sequel or a spinoff or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a show called Blackish. And even though ABC has Blackish, that's the Anthony Anderson. Sorry,
yeah.
Anthony. But they're making on Freeform, which is basically ABC Family. It used to be ABC Family. They're now making a Blackish sequel. I'm like no.
So there's a Doctor Who sequel on now too.
The Class, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I've been still playing catch up on Doctor Who. I finally got
caught up on
everything.
I will say this lovely lady missed
it.
As I said,
oh, is that
missed
bad?
It. And Doctor Who appears in the first episode or two, but that's it. It does, you know, it's scary monsters and alien invaders. It's not Doctor Who. And I don't even like his new companion. I'm sorry. I'm prejudiced.
Oh, you don't like Bill? Oh, I think Bill is great. I like Bill.
I don't. Bill, give me Jenna Coleman again, please. Okay.
I like Bill's sense of wonder and this fish out of water kind of thing. I mean, she acts the way that you should act when you're seeing the universe for the first time.
Oh, I know, but what annoys me is everything now is a sequel. They're playing another Pink Panther movie. Not with Steve Martin, but another Pink Panther movie. They're planning another Moana movie. You know,
well, it doesn't surprise me.
Cars 3 is coming. Toy Story 4 is coming. I mean, it's like... What happened to originality?
No, you have to. I mean, the indie movies have the originality. Well, there's one that my husband and I want to see. That's a mainstream movie. We want to see Dunkirk.
Well, I do too.
I wasn't all that interested at first because I don't really get into World War II that much. But he's the history buff. And then I found out that one of my favorite actors is in it, Mark Rylance. And he was in Wolf Hall.
Yes, I love Mark
Rylance. And I found out he's
just...
in this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go see this. And I saw some previews because they were playing on TV. And I'm like, wait a minute. This looks really, really good. Especially with Mark Rylance in it. I mean, and I'll watch anything he does. You know, the man.
Well, I mean,
he's been
what
called
do you think
greatest
of Alien the Covenant?
I haven't seen it yet, and my friends that have seen it so far say meh.
Yeah.
I haven't. I'm kind of like on the fence as to whether or not to see it. I'll probably wait until it comes out streaming. I'm not going to go to the movies for it.
Okay. I'm going to say this, and you guys will laugh at me. I don't want to see Mamma Mia the sequel. It's been 10 years, and now they're... They're going to put a Meryl Streep has said yes, and Universal's going to make another Mamma Mia, okay? How unoriginal TV is, they're going to do Rent, Jesus Christ Superstar, and The Christmas Story, the musical. And David Ayers, who directed Suicide Squad, is going to do Scarface. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd rather they just, you know, I don't know why they keep doing new things without any, you know.
Yeah. I'm still mad that they did that remake of The Haunting, which was awful. And I paid money.
I know.
Money at the movie theater to go see this because I love the original. And it bore no resemblance to it. The acting was terrible. I mean, they really wasted some good actors in that movie. And it was just stupid. And I'm just sitting here cringing, thinking I just wasted $50. I'm going to just eat my popcorn and sit here in silence and brood.
Well, they're doing a new DuckTales. However, the one that played Alan Young, who played Scrooge McDuck, is dead. I don't know what they're going to do. But they got Hamilton star Lin Emanuel playing Gizmo. So I want to see what they're going to do with it. I'm not saying I want to, but it's like, you know, there's too many sequels, equals, prequels, whatever. I mean, I want to see Star Wars Episode 8 when it comes out in December because I have 1 through 7, and I want to see what Luke is going to teach his new students, supposedly. But, I mean, the King Arthur that just got released flopped. You know, the Fate of the Furious is doing
like
beautifully.
Yeah, I like the review that said King Arthur fell on his sword.
But, I mean, Disney is remaking things like Beauty and the Beast and The Jungle Book and things like that.
Live action.
And I'm not impressed.
Action.
But I'm not impressed. Give me the animated look for the bare necessities. I love that. So let me talk a little about you, because I got a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Not for me, thank God. Thank God they're not mine.
Oh.
Okay. I can deny them they're not mine. from Mona, she wants to know, do you have a writing format you go on?
I guess you mean my daily way that I write. I'm definitely a morning person, and I'll do my writing in the morning. So, you know, I'll get up, make my coffee, go through my email, you know, check out Facebook, see if there's anything new. And then, I'll work on usually several things at one time. So right now, I mean, I'm almost finished with, it's a short horror story called A Skirmish Near Beaufort. And it's a Civil War story. And I'm in the very, very final edit now. I'm going to look it over this weekend and then submit it. It's not due till the end of the month. And I'm also working on a novel, a horror novel, which it's a hot mess right now. But anytime, you know, ask anybody that's working on a novel, until it's finished, it's a hot mess. But so I'll do that.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. So I'll work on that until about like 1 o'clock. And then, lately, since it's getting to be nice outside and I live near the beach, I try to get up a little earlier and get my work done by 12 or 1. And my husband works night shift, so then by the time he gets up, we just go straight to the beach and spend the whole day there. And
okay,
by
remember,
then,
I want a Coke
done,
bottle
so
of
works.
Sand. I want a Coke bottle of sand now. Send me one. They used to, They used to take a funnel and used to go and they used to use colored sands or a little food dye with the
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I used to, this was years ago, but used to beat sand in a jar, you know, in a Coke bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I used to have it and used to just sort of play with it until I dropped the damn thing, and then it was like vacuum.
Yeah,
time.
That breaks, and you get sand everywhere.
But I used to love that. Oh, God. That was so... I'm dating myself. Oh, my God.
Well, that's basically my routine. I do it Monday through Thursday. Fridays, I take off. Weekends, I'll leave open for any emergencies that happen. And also, while I'm doing this, I'm getting things set up for Into the Abyss, you know, the podcast. And I also just I heard from an organization that's interested in having me write some nonfiction articles and do some editing. So I'm talking to them right now about exactly what the logistics are, what the actual pay is, more of what they really want me to do. So I mean that just started this afternoon. Now I was just approved for work. So I'm like,
oh, well,
wait,
this is an exclusive. Oh my God, we have an exclusive.
Yeah,
folks.
Yeah. This just happened.
Okay. All kidding aside, somebody asked, how do you get your ideas? I tell them Cleveland, but, they want
to... I've never been to Cleveland.
You should. Just go through the trash. You'll find a million ideas. You and Ellison.
Some of my ideas are ripped off from the headlines. As I'll read something really bizarre, I'm a Farker. I'm on Total Fark. And you'll get really weird news there. And I often get some really crazy ideas from what I read. And I get ideas from stuff that happens around me. Like, for instance, today I was at the beach with my husband, and I live near this little island that's about 0.2 miles off the shore. And it was pretty close to high tide, so there was, water between that island and shore. And there were these four kids out there who somehow got stuck on the island, and they – actually swam their way back over, and we were watching the whole time because we thought they were going to drown. And we're on the phone, dialing the Coast Guard, and we didn't hit send yet, but it's like, should we or shouldn't we? And they actually made it over. But the thing is that I had that idea about that island before, and I wrote a story called The Storm, and it's free on my website. And it's about some idiot that manages to get drunk, goes over to an island just like that when it's low tide, and he can walk over to it because there's a walkway. And then he's all drunk and passed out, and then high tide comes and he's trapped there, and there's a nor'easter coming, and he has to get off the island. So he has to call his brother-in-law to get him out of there. And it's a paranormal, it's kind of a romance, but it's definitely a paranormal dark comedy. But it's on my website. It's
while we're on a 30-second break here, why don't you tell them to get a hold of you on your website in the 15 minutes we have left?
Okay.
Because they can look up that new short story.
Before I go in to do my homework. Yeah, okay. I'm on Blogspot, Blogspot Elizabeth A. Black, and Facebook I'm Elizabeth A. Black, and Twitter I'm Elizabeth A. Black, and I'm on Google Plus, but I don't look at that very much. I'm on FARC. I'm Ms. Lara Croft. So if anybody here is a total FARCer, you know where to find me.
Okay.
But they're the main places where I hang out.
Now it's time for me to do the rare occasion, right? I do this every show. My homework. On the 22nd, it may be Victoria Day in Canada, but the legal show will be on the 22nd. We will finally, Sarah and I, will talk about the Oxford comma. So it'll be an interesting show, an interesting, fun show.
Mm-hmm.
My alarm just went off to make sure I could go and do my homework. Okay, thank you, alarm.
Ah.
Carol Murphy will be my guest on Wednesday. That's the 24th. On the 26th, Danny Queen will be sitting in the hot seat next week in this lovely chance. Of course, we will have shows on the 29th with the legal show. And radio commentator, news producer, Alvin Jones will be here on the 31st. So it's not gonna be a little week. It's gonna be busy as hell. And we have guests coming. Gene Joachim is coming. Michelle Paisley Reed is coming. David Smith, the lovely Jennifer Chase. On the 23rd, we have Robin Peterman. And on the 30th of June, we have Nina Farrell. And if you ever, you should read her erotica. She is great. All kidding aside, I want to know your weirdest, dare I say, fanboy moment.
My weirdest fanboy moment. Oh, boy. I honestly can't think of one.
You mean you didn't go up to somebody and say, oh, my God, you're such and such?
Oh, yes, I did, actually. He was one of my
Your weirdest fanboy moment, not
well,
there.
Well, I was at the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat, and I'm a huge fan of Jack Ketchum. He wrote The Girl Next Door, which I read and I saw the movie, and it stayed with me. That movie really stuck with me. And I mean, the book especially, it's even more harrowing. And he was one of the guests of honor, and I wanted him to be on, I think I had him on the women's show. But
yes,
I wanted to have him back. Yeah, I had him on the women's show. And it took me like a couple of days to get up the courage to walk up to him and say, Mr. Ketchum, hi, shake hand. I'm really a big fan. Would you like to be on my podcast? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I went, it was that easy? So we just arranged everything. I arranged it through his publicist whoever his assistant is. And he was a fantastic guest. We talked about, The Girl Next Door, which is, I highly recommend reading that book if you really like rough horror. That's a really rough one to read, but he was that was my fan moment. And then the other one would be Daniel Loft, and it was the same thing. And I'm like, oh my God, The Blacklist, because he's one of the writers. And so then I got up, Mr. Loft, would you like to be on my show? And I'd already seen Carnival, which I absolutely loved, and I liked that better than The Blacklist. And, of course, getting Joe Lansdale on the show, and a friend of mine had introduced me to him. So then I asked him, hey, Joe, would you like to be on my show? And he said, sure, yeah. And I got him on with Marsha Casper Cook with several other writers. And Joe was such an impressive guest that everybody else stayed quiet and we let Joe talk. And then I got him as a guest by himself for the women's show. And now I want to have him again, after I finish watching Happen Leonard season 2.
Well, send him to me, because the last time he was late for me, so
yeah,
I want him again. All kidding aside, Who's on your wish list to go for the Into the Abyss?
Let's see, Stephen King. That would be really great to get him. Paul Tremblay. He wrote A Head Full of Ghosts. He's one of the Bram Stoker Award winners. And I wrote to him, and he never wrote back to me. So I don't know how to get hold of him. But, you know, he's a guest that I would love to have on. And right now, they're the main two. I mean, if I could get Stephen King, that would be great. And another one is Doug Clegg.
If you
and
get
with him,
Stephen
it's a matter
King,
of getting him
I'm going to your
him.
House and clean your windows.
Hold me to that.
This is archived
and
recorded.
I just asked them. I mean, I ain't
just
really
tell
high.
Bill, he doesn't have the house clean the windows. I'll do it. You get King? Oh, yeah. I'll do it. I promise.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to get King. And I'm near him. I'm in Massachusetts. He's in Maine.
I know. But most of the network is like either New York or like Montana or something with the callback number. But
I'd
okay.
like to have Trent Zelazny on again, too. I mean, he's a good friend of mine. I'd really like to have him back. And he's always a good guest.
Yeah, I like Trent. I got to ask him, but I haven't had a chance to. I mean, I'm booked through June now, and it's amazing. What do you have upcoming that they can buy from Amazon or other places?
Okay, I have my two latest are Roughing It, which is an erotic romance that's inspired by The X-Files, and the other one is No Restraint, which is another erotic romance that's published by a company in England. You can find both of these on Amazon. And my actual latest, which just came out, I just got my author copies of the book. It's an anthology called The Girls Next Door. It's a lesbian anthology, and my story Neighbors is in it. And upcoming toward the end of the year, the book Zippered Flesh 3, Still More Tales of Body Enhancements Gone Bad is going to come out. And my horror story Invisible appears in that book. And that one has a really, really good lineup. It has Billy Sue Moseman, Graham Masterton. He's also going to be in that one. And there are two off the top of my head that I can think of, and it's a really, really good lineup in that book.
Let me ask you a question. I know you're an X-Files fan. If Chris Carter came to you and said, Elizabeth, I would like you to write an X-Files novel.
Oh, yes. Yes, I
would.
Could
you?
I certainly would. Yeah, I could. Well, actually, do you remember about 20 years ago, and you were talking about these three anthologies that you were working on? One of them was gay, one of them was lesbian, one of them was Adventures in TV Land.
Yep.
The story that I wrote for Adventures in TV Land, my X-File, I turned into Roughing It, and that's the one that was published back in the winter. So, I mean, I changed the characters. They're not Mulder and Scully. They're the two men. But you can hear Mulder and Scully in their dialogue. They sound just like them. So, you know, that story ended up getting published.
Have you thought of going to Hollywood and approach Chris Carter to write an episode?
Actually, I'm looking now into screenplays because I've never written one before, and I'm investigating it to find out.
Remind me,
I'll
send you a couple.
I'll
send you to Jean Spacusa. She's just done The Scarapist, and she Night Winds, her new one, is I just read the script. Oh, God. It is that good. And believe me, you got to go to Jean Spacusa and talk to her. She'll help you. Trust me. She will not, you know. Now, Chris Carter has to be the one approving it because, you know, he's so tight on X-Files. They used to do fan fiction. Now, 20th Century has clamped down on Star Wars fan fiction and X-Files fan fiction. You used to time ago. Used to do fan fiction and everybody was thrilled. Now, you can't even touch it.
Well, they used to have, they had their own chats. I mean, I was in the X-Files chat on AOL. And this was pretty cool. I tried to reach him, but I can't find him. We had Glenn Morgan, who was, you know, one of the writers for the show. He used to come into the chat all the time and just hang out with us. There were only about 30 of us, and this was before the show actually caught on. And he would come in there and tell us what episode he was working on, and he began to name characters after the people in the AOL chat. And I'm still convinced because my name for the chat I chose was Sam Mulder, you know, Mulder's sister. And they used to call her Samantha on the show, and then they started calling her Sam. And I still like to think that it was because I was in there and they were always answering to me. And so he was the one that started calling her Sam. So I just like to think that it was my influence, even though probably it wasn't. But
it was. Come on, don't lie.
Oh, I hope so. But
we know it's
fan
true,
fiction. They used
but
to
that's
have,
okay.
They had websites. They had websites with all these folders of, you know, a theme from every episode. And Fox is the one that took all that stuff down. I think that Chris Carter didn't mind it being up. He liked it because it was like free advertising.
Well, so did Lucas,
but
Disney took out the Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it used to have, Peter David did the Star Trek stuff. I mean, you had authors like Peter David and others, Della Van Heist and others, that were doing Star Trek fan stuff, and now you don't have that anymore. Do you think we should go back to something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, look at Psy, who did, what was that song that he did? Gangnam Style. That was probably one of the most pirated songs out there, and it was free advertising. That's the way he looked at it. And I think that the stories that are inspired by stuff like the X-Files, it's a labor of love, and it gets people to, you know, show more interest in the show, and it keeps it current, keeps it relevant, because right now the X-Files isn't on. But, you know, the next season has been approved.
Oh, no, it will be on next season. They're going to do another 6 or 7.
It's been approved. It's coming. And I think, you know, it's like free advertising for them. And
I'm a Lucifer fan, and I want a Lucifer fanzine, and can't do that.
Oh, I would love it. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I want
to
play.
I would have to get past Neil Gaiman.
No, not really. TV show different than the movie, but I'd love to hear Tom Ellis go, detective? Oh, God, I would be, if I would have Tom Ellis for a show, I would be, you know, like, ugh. The nerves would be more than you could bear. It's like, Tom Ellis, oh, my God. And it's like my voice would be hit with helium. I could say that. You're a fellow talk show host. Next show on your show is coming when?
Yeah, it's I just booked it yesterday, and I don't have a time yet. It's I believe it's Thursday, June, I think it's the 15th. Whatever around there is Thursday. And my guest is Walt Bost, and he's the supervising sound editor for iZombie. And he also worked on Veronica Mars. So we're going to talk about sound editing and the indie movie that we worked on 20 years ago where I was key makeup. I did all the special effects makeup.
Don't you feel old now? I've seen more of my work lately that's 20 years old than current.
I'm like, oh my God. Well,
20 years ago.
Guest, and that's what we're going to talk about. And we'll talk about screenwriting and writing, you know, to keep it relevant for the theme of my show. So, you know, that'll be a new topic for me to talk about screenwriting. I don't really talk about that one very often. But we'll talk about shows and what it's like working
on. I'm threatening you. You need to come back here soon.
Oh, I will.
Here, this show.
Oh, I know. I know what you mean. I'd be happy to.
I love, you are the most intelligent, not the only intelligent, but you are one of the most intelligent ladies I know. And
you
know where all the, you said it yourself, you know where all the bodies are buried. All kidding aside.
I helped you bury
them.
We
have about 30 seconds. Thank you for coming, Elizabeth Black. Your husband won't kill me. I love you. You know that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But you know
I
that.
Love you too,
I've loved you for 26 years. I'm not going to stop now. Okay, next week we will have a lovely, lovely, talented show. Be here at 11 for Anything Goes. Good night. Fly right.
Good
Be
night.
Well. Good night.
Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Good night.